Hey folks, Nish here with my latest Dots episode. It is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. Today I'm going to be riffing and maybe even ranting about three things. One is a follow-up on creative operations vocabulary. I mentioned that in last week's Dots episode. Two is the most important creative ops WTF. That's right, WTF of creative ops. And third is Simon Cowell. Yes, Mr. Simon Cowell on your creative brief. Before I get to my riffing and ranting, just a heads up, dropping our next guest interview episode this Wednesday. That will be April 24th with Betty Louie, General Counsel at Brandtech Group. Really enjoyed this conversation with Betty. She's really setting a great example of how legal can be a valuable partner in accelerating both the safe and confident adoption of AI. Been having tons of conversations about AI, and in all those conversations, the notion of, like, what are we actually allowed to do? What are we actually allowed to do? What are we actually allowed to use that AI might generate? And very often in these organizations, what I'm hearing from creative ops leaders, creative leaders, marketing leaders, is that they're not really getting the direction, the guidance, the partnership, the collaboration that they really need from their legal teams, whether they're internal or external. So I'm hoping through this episode, it really arms you with a lot of good insights into what Betty and her team have done at Brandtech Group. Maybe things that you can sort of push and poke and prod your own legal counterparts on. Maybe even send them the episode, and I'm going to be doing a companion questions and actions episode related to the conversation with Betty. So hopefully that'll give you a bunch of little bite-sized things and tips and questions and actions that you can take to really sort of spur legal to come to the table and be your partner. Again, in accelerating safe and confident adoption of AI in your organization. All right. So enough of the heads up. Let's get on to the riffing and ranting. Topic number one, creative operations vocabulary. I mentioned this in last week's Dots episode. Now, looking at the language that you're using and how you're communicating to the different people in the process, whether those are folks in marketing, folks in creative, folks in IT or technology, whoever's involved in the process of your supply chain of generating creative content, whether it's internal audiences or external audiences, what are the words, what are the terms, what's the vocabulary and the language that you're using? And I had this example of that I learned from this decision management course that I'm taking, hard mode versus easy mode. Like, it's very simple, but it totally reframes both the way I'm thinking about decisions and the actions that I'm taking. And last week I gave the example of do I want to go to bed at my normal bedtime or do I want to stay up and scroll? Well, if I decide to stay up and scroll, I'm choosing hard mode for the next morning. If I go to bed on time, I'm choosing easy mode for the next morning. Same thing with what am I going to eat, that bag of Doritos or the big green nutritious salad? Hard mode or easy mode? Because the actions we take now will determine hard mode or easy mode later. And this is really about looking at the words you're using, the terms that you're using, when you're using them, so that you can root them in the language and, more importantly, the stories that you want to tell to drive the behaviors and actions that you want and the ones that you don't want. And one of the most common example in the world of creative operations is I didn't get feedback on time for that creative work that we sent back to the requester, the marketer, somebody on the business side. And often the language around that, the terms around that are factually correct, but they don't really tell an emotionally driven story. And human beings always remember, we're not creatures of logic like we'd like to believe. We're creatures of emotion. We are story-driven animals, is what we are. I like to say stories are the original algorithm, but that's a whole another thing I'll get into maybe some other time. Anyway, so if we even took something as simple as hard mode and easy mode, like today when you send out a notification to Bob, the individual in marketing who requested something and now version 1 or version 3 is needs feedback on it from Bob. He might have 24 hours left to give that feedback. And you know from past experience that Bob always gives this feedback at the last minute, or he gives it past the deadline that you and really the creative team needs to be able to have ample enough time to incorporate that feedback and turn around the next version, the final version of it. And the notifications that you're sending out today, or that the system that you're responsible for managing, like your project management system or whatever other system that you're using, are again like using words and terms and language that are factual. They're telling stories that are factual. Like your review is due in 24 hours. Or if the deadline is passed, this review is now past due. You might even use words like, you know, this project might be at risk. But that's not really telling a story. That's not like putting Bob in the story. I think, and that's why I'm sort of like going on about vocabulary, is like hard mode and easy mode could like change the story that your notifications tell. Like the notification out to Bob could be, hey, there's 24 hours left for you to provide your feedback. We are still in easy mode in this project. If your feedback is not received on time, this project goes into hard mode. I think that changes the way Bob thinks about his responsibility, his accountability. Like saying something is like due soon or something is now overdue, it's factually correct, but it doesn't evoke or invoke a strong emotion in the recipient. But telling them their action, their behavior is going to determine whether this project is on easy mode or hard mode, I think that puts them in a different story. A different story about themselves. Do they want to be responsible for this project going from easy mode to hard mode? Or do they want to be the person who did things on time and ensure that the project stayed on quote unquote easy mode? So it's really about like looking at the words and terms that you're using, but more importantly, like stepping back and thinking about like, what are the stories that you want to put people in? Whether it's like Bob, the marketer who needs to provide that feedback, or it's someone on the creative team or somebody in IT or technology, if they're part of like producing that piece of creative for that project. It's like whoever is on that project, think about the stories that your notifications, that the words in those notifications are going to invoke. So I think the questions to ask yourself is like, what is some of the behavior you want to change? And there's probably a whole bunch of behavior. And we're going to get to that in number two, WTF. But what are the things that are sort of like frustrating that you want to, again, change? How do you want that behavior to change? So what is the story that people might be telling themselves today is like, oh, it's okay if I'm like a day or 2 days late with like providing my feedback, it's fine. So they're telling themselves one story of like, it's fine to give that feedback late. You need to be asking yourself is, how do you want that story to change? The story you probably want them telling themselves is, you know what, I really should provide this feedback like well in advance of the due date. Because, you know, maybe you're using terms like hard mode and easy mode. And again, I'm not saying those are the terms to use. I'm just using that as an example. And, you know, so really think about like, what are the stories that you want to, what are the stories of today? What are the stories you want to, how do you want those stories to change? How might you think about using different words, different tone even, and even how often or how infrequently you use certain notifications, certain language, and I was having this conversation with somebody last week about hard mode and easy mode. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden it popped into my head. I was just like, you know what? Moms are really good at doing this. It's like when your kids, I certainly fell into this bucket. When your kids, you know, usually it's like, okay, like every day is sort of the same, but every now and then, Mom pulls out that tone or that certain word or that certain phrase, and me and my brother and my sister went, oh shit, like, we better, like, do whatever she's talking about, because she used that word and she used that tone. I think, again, she was telling a different story than the usual story, and her behavior changed immediately. So, anyways, that was my follow-up on creative ops vocabulary. It's not about the words, just not about the terms. It's really about the stories that you want to convey. And those words and terms are going to be characters in those stories to drive the type of behavior and actions that you want. If that's something you want to riff on a little bit more with me, drop me a line, Nish at creativeops.fm, or as usual, hit me up on LinkedIn, best way to get a hold of me. Topic number two is WTF of creative operations. WTF. It's not the usual F, it's friction. So what's the friction? This is really inspired by an interview I did last week with Roman Kubler and Jeffrey Lash from Under Armour. You're gonna, that episode, I think, drops on May 8th. So stay tuned for that one. Lots of light bulbs went off for me throughout that episode. And so it was inspired in part by that. And then often when I ask people, what's your definition of creative operations? I think friction is the most common word that comes up. You know, the definition is something like, you know, to eliminate friction so that people can do the work they are or can be great at. So when referring to the creative team, it's like, get friction out of their way so they can focus on doing great creative work. But even like on the other side of the creative operations equation for the marketers, it's about getting friction out of their way. And topic number three, I mentioned up top, you know, I talked about creative briefs and Simon Cowell. We're going to be talking about that. Often there's a lot of friction in the creative brief. So it's about eliminating friction. And I think this is a great common sense question to ask is yourself as a creative operations leader is WTF, what's the friction? The people that we are intended to serve, the people in the process, we should be asking them, what's the F? Like, what is the friction that's getting in your way? I don't need to look at data yet. I don't need to do a big analysis. I don't need to, like, you know, go away and sit by the river and like daydream and pontificate as to like, how do I create the most ideal process in the world? I think it's as simple as going like, hey guys, WTF, what's the friction? And it's also up to you to observe what the F is. What is the friction? What's being done poorly? What's getting in the way of things running as smoothly as they could be? So both observe and ask. And I think it's doing it consistently. And then create a list of, you know, all those F's, the ones that others tell you about and the ones that you're observing, and make a list of it. And this should inform the way you think about designing changes to the process. You should then be looking at data that your tools are producing to see if the things that you're observing or the things you're being told are being backed up and validated by the data that you have. Your creative team might come and say, we're getting really poor information in these creative briefs that are coming through. Cool. Take note of that, document it, and then go and look at the data. Like, and this is going to come up in my next topic. Go and look at the data of like, all the creative briefs that have been filled out over the last 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, whatever it is, for all the questions that you ask, go and look at the data that you're receiving. How many fields were left blank? How many fields had absolutely useless information inputted into it? And then start to ask why that friction exists. Because it's not simply, you know, maybe it's as simple as, well, the marketing team is just lazy. I'm going to guess 99.9% of the time, that's not the case. Maybe the issue is with the way the question is asked. Maybe the issue is with like, that question shouldn't even be on the creative brief. It's not an input that the marketing team should be providing because it's not their domain of expertise, or the information already exists somewhere. And you should just be looking at how you can pull it in and make everyone's life like easier. Anyways, I'm starting to get into the next topic. I want to stick on WTF for another minute. And so again, like, ask about what are your F's, what are your WTFs, and ask that of the creative team, ask that of the marketers, ask that of the IT and technical team, ask that of anybody who's involved in the process at some point. You already know who all those people are, and do this on a regular basis. I think as a creative operations leader, that also shows that, you know, you are continuously looking to understand how to improve the process. And the process isn't, you know, this thing that you serve or that others serve. The process is supposed to be a tool. The process is supposed to be a tool that facilitates and supports great work. So part of your job as a creative operations leader who operates at the 50,000 foot level and above is to always be asking and observing and inquiring about the F's. So questions for you, you should be thinking about is, are you asking WTF? Are you observing WTF? Are you documenting WTFs? You should have a Google Doc. It's as simple as that, folks. And like, start to create a backlog of all the WTFs, the ones that you're going to bring up in meetings where you discuss this with your creative team, the marketing team, other stakeholders. Are you looking at data to validate those Fs or give you a different perspective on those Fs? And the final thing in terms of questions you should be asking yourself when it comes to the Fs is, if you're asking and nobody is offering you any Fs, almost like, no, everything is perfect, which I guarantee you it's not, then is this a sign that you've got a more deeply rooted problem in your culture where people don't feel like they can speak up and help you to continuously improve the process? Because the way you're going to improve the process, the way you're going to make that process continuously better as an enabler for great work, as an enabler for marketing to move as quickly as it needs to in a hyper paced environment, is if you're eliminating those F's. But to eliminate those F's, you need to know what the F's are. All right, so that was it for topic number two. On to topic number three, Simon Cowell and creative operations briefs are just briefs. You know what? Briefs are still the kryptonite of creative operations. And, you know, really what ends up happening is very often in most briefs, and I've seen a ton of them, it's usually a lot of garbage in, and it's not garbage out because you still get the creative work that you need. And it's usually like two spec or amazing work very often. But what comes out the other end when there's garbage in is frustration throughout the entire process. I think creative briefs are one of the biggest F's there are. And I think that's because most briefs are just poorly designed. And I'm sorry, my creative operations peeps. Do people say peeps anymore, or am I really showing my age right now? Anyways, I love my creative operations peeps, but these bad creative operations briefs, this is on you. This is not somebody else's fault. This is not somebody else's problem. If you're a creative operations leader or aspire to be a creative operations leader, the kind that operates at the 50,000 foot level and above, then you got to go Simon Cowell on your briefs. You got to tear them down. It's something I've started doing over the last few months with folks that have reached out to me. And I did one last week with an individual at a well-known brand. I'm not going to mention the individual or the brand because I don't have their permission. But I'm doing these creative brief teardowns. And I'm sort of channeling my inner Simon Cowell when we're doing these, because the goal is to get to a better creative brief, which I believe is one of the biggest F's that is plaguing creative operations teams and is a huge scarlet letter for the creative operations leader, the aspiring creative operations leader. So I am going Simon Cowell on these, but I'm Canadian, so I'm doing it with Canadian politeness. So as I'm doing these, there's a whole bunch of oohs and ahs thrown in, and maybe a few times I'm going, oh, geez. Anyways, the one from last week, again, I'm not going to mention the name or the brand, but it was a super interesting one. So it was, I think why it's valuable for the individuals I'm doing this with and the brands I'm doing this with is they get to have a third party without any emotional attachment. It's somebody that's literally coming in. It's almost like Monday morning quarterbacking, using a very North American term there. Monday morning quarterbacking of your creative brief. I'm not on the field, so I've got a different vantage point. I got a different perspective, and I see tons of creative briefs, and I speak to dozens and hundreds of creative operations people throughout the year. And really what I do is I'm sort of like an annoying five-year-old Socrates, is that I'm asking a bunch of why questions. Why? What's the value? Why are you doing that? Why are you asking that? And really what ends up happening is we generate a list of improvements. Some of it's, a lot of it's low-hanging fruit. I wonder if a lot of creative ops leaders don't sort of do regular teardowns or their brief because they think it's going to be a massive undertaking to make changes. And certainly, like, there are going to be things that are more involved and complex, you know, especially if it involves integration with other systems or like pulling in data from other systems. But there's usually always a lot of good low-hanging fruit that is going to drive immediate value and make that brief better and reduce the size of the F related to that brief. And I think this is something that all creative operations leaders should be doing. So the one I did last week, I'm going to anonymize this because there's a bunch of really smart things that they're doing. A couple of things I wanted to mention. One is, and then I'm going to get to some of the things that came up through the conversation that may be valuable for you, because I'm going to hopefully be explaining in a fairly generic way. They had two different types of briefs, one for like more the, I'll call it the straightforward type of project brief, where it's something that they've done before. It's relatively small in scope. I don't want to say it's about like copy pasting something they've done before, but it's the path to go from I need it to I got it is relatively straightforward, straight line. And then the other type of brief was a campaign brief or something that was larger in scope where there's more moving parts to it. There might be more sort of uncommon things to take into account. So I thought that was smart. They had two different types of briefs. See way too many teams out there using one generic brief for everything. And I'll just be blunt and maybe a little bit non-Canadian and say, I think if you have different types of work and projects, like one brief for everything, might be a little bit lazy. I think it's something you should think, look at and see if that's one of the things that's causing creative briefs to be a big fat app. Two is they have this library of spec sheets. So this brand does a lot of their retail is one of their biggest channels. So they end up doing a lot of in-store displays and print and things like that. And in the past, the marketer had to provide all the specs for here's the display size, or if it's something that's going to be printed, here's the spec sheet and everything like that. This creative ops team, they're smart. They basically dug through their inbox and Google Drive and wherever else these spec sheets were stored from all these retailers that they regularly work with. And they just built a library. So now the marketer just simply in that brief goes, oh, it's this retailer and this type of display or this type of like print collateral. And the creative ops team already then can append in the background that spec sheet. They already have that information. So that eliminated some friction from the marketer having to upload it, having to go and ask the retailer for it, having to tell themselves, man, I know I've given this to them like seven different times over the last 2 years. Why do I have to keep giving this information? So great example of, you know, identifying the F and reducing it with just something that's really smart. And it makes the creative teams like life downstream easier as well, because they're not having to go and ask for it or chase it or anything like that. They also made a really good use of if then statements in their creative brief. I know a lot of folks aren't using, this organization is using Workfront, which is a fairly sophisticated tool in terms of its capabilities. I know a lot of folks are still using, you know, like Google Form or something like that. So if then statements may not be something that is possible today, but I thought it was a smart thing for them to incorporate because they have the capability. And then, so as we're sort of doing our, you know, Simon Cowell, you know, times annoying five-year-old Socrates routine and asking a whole bunch of why questions, a few things came up that you might want to consider doing as you're thinking about like doing a teardown of your creative brief. And what are some of the things that you may want to look at? One is, I would actually question every question and input that you're asking for on the creative brief. Like almost start off with a blank canvas mindset. Like you are starting from scratch. First thing I would do is, if my creative brief has been up and running for a while, I would go and grab all the data for all the inputs into the creative brief. So for every question for, let's say, the last 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, what is the data that I got for it? Was that data valuable? Was it not valuable? Am I seeing any sort of like common responses? If I'm seeing common responses, that might be a good sort of signal that maybe that should be a drop-down menu, which is sort of like codified, baked-in responses. That makes it easier for the marketer. And if it's easier for the marketer, that also creates consistency for the information that the creative team is getting. So they have to do less interpretation and guesswork or having to go and follow up with the marketer. If the information being given is not valuable, then that would be my signal to go and ask myself, like, is this question even needed? Can that information be pulled from somewhere else? Is that information even needed? Maybe I'll ask my creative team, like, do you actually need this information to get started on version one of this project? So I would be looking at the data. One thing we talked about, or I talked about with this individual last week, is like going and grabbing all that data, and whether you're using a sophisticated tool like Workfront or a Google Form or a Excel spreadsheet, you got this data, so there's no excuse. You don't need to go and talk to like a nerd and pull all the data. It's already available to you. So no excuses. We talked about like pulling all that data and then the responses for especially those open-ended questions that you might be asking of the marketer on the brief, like that are more related to things like design or tone or things like that. Just put them into like some sort of like survey form. Again, it could be a Google form, and ask the creative team to like rate the value of that response from a score of like 1 to 5, just to see if that type of input is actually valuable or not. And the question could be as simple as like, does getting feedback on if the question is X and these are the 10 most common responses, or just like a random scattering of the responses that have been received, does this actually help you do your work? Yes or no? Or on a scale of 1 to 5, however you want to do it. And I think that's going to give you a lot of good signals and insights. Again, not clear black and white answers, but it's going to give you signals of like, does that question even really matter? Maybe we need to like rephrase how we ask that question. Maybe there's a lot of like common responses and it could just be drop-down menus. The second sort of category of things we're talking about as we're doing this teardown is, you know, automate, and I'm putting that in air quotes, automate what you can. So one of the inputs was, who needs to approve this? Well, the reality in most organizations is, who needs to approve it or who needs to review it, but not necessarily approve? So let's like go reviewers and approvers. That's usually sort of like based on rules. You know, what is the product or service line? What's a geographic area? Is it related to a certain topic or something like that? So build a spreadsheet, like it's an Excel sheet. And for however marketing is organized, there are campaigns, whether it's around line of business, geography, you know, maybe there's some other initiatives and things like that. Work with marketing and go, okay, like for anything related to that line of business or that geography or that, you know, key initiative for 2024, who are the people that should be involved in the review and who are the approvers? then boom, all that information can just be quote unquote coded in your creative brief. So if somebody comes in and starts a brief and it goes, it's related to product X and geographic territory Z, you already know who the reviewers and approvers are. Like, why are you asking marketing to input that information that you should already know or already know? It's an unnecessary F. I think there's probably a lot of things that you're asking on your brief. We certainly found that in this situation last week that, again, are already known. Like, reviewers and approvers is a good example. Another one is like success metrics. Very often I see on briefs like, you know, how are you measuring success of this project or this campaign? Well, marketing is held to certain KPIs. Every marketing team has KPIs. So ask them what their KPIs are and actually put that at the top of the brief. What KPI, what is the primary KPI that you're trying to drive with this project or campaign? And then you could even put, what are your secondary KPIs? And I think if you do that, that makes it easier for the marketer. Two, it shows them that you're genuinely interested in being their partner and helping them to, in helping them with great creative that is going to enable them to, as best as possible, achieve against their KPIs. I'd actually put that right at the top of the creative brief. I think it creates like a sense of understanding, a sense of collaboration, a sense of partnership. And I think it also creates momentum. The marketer now is going, oh shit, those are my KPIs. I'm going to select those two. And now they've sort of got momentum and they're starting to go, this is my creative brief. This is not a burden to fill something out because the creative team needs it. This is something so I can achieve my KPIs. Again, a very simple thing, but I think it would be very helpful. I think the next category is sort of like cut, cut, cut. There's so many questions I see on briefs that, quite frankly, are useless. Or they could just be asked in a much simpler way. So I think, you know, in the category of like simpler way, very often I see questions around like, you know, what are sort of the qualities or characteristics of this? Like, one is, who is the audience? And it's a free form field. It's like, yeah, but marketing has already decided what audiences are going after at the start of the year. And they actually don't, they probably don't change dramatically year to year, like slight edits, but not significant changes. There should be a drop down menu of like the audiences. Again, make it easy and make it consistent. It's also going to help the creative team. Two is, I see questions that are like, just doesn't make sense for the marketer to fill up. I often see questions around like, you know, what kind of tone or aesthetic are you going for? I think this creates all sorts of problems. One is, most marketers / business people, i.e. people like me, don't really know how to answer those questions. So you're going to get either a blank, or you're going to get something like, make it pop, or you're going to get something like, I like purple. It's the creative team that is supposed to like translate like brand and aesthetic and come up with the right design. You have a style guide. You've got branding guidelines. That's the creative team's job. Why are you asking the marketing team for that? If there's a reason to do it, then do it. But you need that question to be a lot more pointed, a lot more specific. It can't be that open-ended because people don't know how to answer it, and you are going to get garbage in or just a blank in. Sorry, going back to the previous point about like audiences should be in a drop-down. And then related to that is, most good marketing teams will have persona profiles or personas built out. So why are you asking more open-ended questions about like the audience and who are they and what are their motivations and things like that? That should already be baked in. And if your marketing team doesn't have personas, use creative operations leader, march right over to marketing, work with them and say, hey, can you guys produce personas? Because then we could actually ensure that the creative that you need for your campaigns to drive your KPIs are actually consistently in line with the personas that we're going after, that you're going to have a drop-down menu to select from in the creative process, making your marketing team's job easier. Next thing, this came up last week because both of these briefs were fairly detailed. Now, maybe on the other side of this, as this individual is starting to make some changes on it, because, you know, the things I've mentioned so far, I haven't used the word integration yet. This is all low-hanging fruit, things they can do, and they don't need IT or anything like that. But they do have some fairly lengthy creative briefs for both the project and the campaign type, and maybe those will become much more streamlined on the other end of it. But they still might be fairly lengthy. So one thing we discussed is this idea of a minimum viable creative brief or a progressive creative brief. I think this is where you need to really work with your creative team and go, what is the minimum viable information we need to actually do a good job on version one and have a really good review round with our marketing counterparts? And because I think very often what happens is these creative briefs are trying to capture all the information right out of the gate. Marketing very often is just putting in very superficial information into it because they know they need to fill out the brief to start the process. And they're very often saying, sorry, I don't have time to give you all this information. Just get started, do version one, and then we'll sort of go from there. And we all know what happens. Version one ends up being totally off the mark. Marketing goes, no, no, not that. And then at that point, they start to give some of that critical foundational information that's required. So my suggestion to creative ops leaders is work with your creative team and really have an understanding of what you actually need, what is foundational to creating a really good version one, so that you could get good feedback on version one to do a version two. And maybe at that point you go, okay, now we need these additional bits of information. So I think it requires clarity on what's required and what version one is actually supposed to be. Is it supposed to be like close to done? Is it supposed to, especially if it's for something that's sort of like you haven't done it before, is it trying to get the concept right? So what information do you need if you're trying to get the concept right versus it's more of an iteration of something that you've done before? In that case, you know, you may want to think about, no, we sort of need like 95% of the information that we need. So version one is basically almost complete, and any feedback we get is about making a couple of minor edits, and then we know we could just simply go to final. So I think your brief or briefs and the fields of information that you need should be mapped back to your processes and what you need along the way. I think this allows marketing to move at the speed of marketing. This gives your creative team the information they need to get started confidently. And then it provides justification for opening up the other fields of information that you need along the way. Again, it's going to depend if it's something that should happen in one version and done, or if it's something that's more concepting that's going to and needs to have the breathing room of multiple versions. And there's different types of information and different scopes of information that you need along the way. A couple of other little minor things that sort of came up through this teardown. One is order questions by what marketing cares about. I already mentioned this in terms of like putting their KPIs into dropdowns at the top of the creative brief. I think that immediately anchors the job of filling out the creative brief in the story. Hey, we're going back to stories. The story of what marketing cares about. Marketing doesn't care about your creative brief. Like, they just don't. It's part of what they need to do to kick off the process. And you've all experienced, like, you know, pretty like poor information in usually into these creative briefs. Put the things they care about up top. That starts to root them into the story of, oh, this is about me achieving my KPIs. And then, you know, ask them for the other information as they keep going down that form. I would highly encourage you, and here I'm going back to like vocabulary, language, and stories, is like the questions that you ask, like wordsmith them. I love words. I love language. I'm one of those nerds that, you know, keeps a file of like just great phrases and great words and terms that I hear. Heard a great one last week, by the way. AI generated average. I might talk about that one some other time because it's got me thinking about AI generated average versus the human navigated innovation is obviously related to AI. Anyways, any question that you have or you keep on your creative brief, really look at how it is asked. Don't be lazy about this. And I think a good rule to follow is think about like that question, the structure of that question, the words and terms in that question. You've got to balance two things. What does marketing care about? And what does creative need? I know that sounds really maybe a little bit ambiguous and hard to do. But what does marketing care about and what does creative need? So if you do need to ask a question about like, you know, tone or design or things like that, I think you need to ask the question in a way that the marketer can answer and that they can care about. Most marketers aren't going to care about those things. And maybe for questions like that, it's really about, you know, geez, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but it's something like, you know, is there anything specific? Is there anything unique about this event that you want the creative team to be aware of and incorporate into the way they think about designing the creative assets? I think that is more helpful and valuable in the way a question is phrased versus, you know, is there anything else we should keep in mind? Anyways, there's a whole bunch of other things. I love doing these teardowns. Questions I would have for you, or you should be asking yourself, is when's the last time you went Simon Cowell and annoying five-year-old Socrates on your creative brief? Leaders do it. Leaders ask. They know that their creative brief is a work in progress, and they should be tearing it down on a regular basis. They should be looking at that data. They should be looking at, how can I ask this question better? Because the creative brief, in my opinion, is probably one of, if not the biggest, F. What's the friction? And my call to action to you is this. If you want to do this with me, I'm up for it. If I have time, I will do it. Hit me up on LinkedIn. Drop me a line at nishacreativeops.fm. I've actually been thinking about, like, in the future, maybe I start a YouTube channel on creative brief teardowns. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Right now, it's just a private one-on-one thing between me and you. Unless you want me to or ask me to, I'm never going to talk about your name, your brand, or anything else like that. Anyways, that's it for this week's riffing and ranting. Geez, I went on for 43 minutes. I always think these things are going to be like 19 minutes long, and then they end up being much, much longer. Let me know, would you please, if you actually find these things like valuable. And if you find the length annoying, let me know. I don't know if I can do anything about that, because once I get going, I get going. But if you do find it annoying, I want to know, because ultimately, I get a kick out of doing these, but I want to make sure that it is delivering a ton of value to you. So hopefully this week's episode gave you some good food for thought. Again, be thinking about creative operations vocabulary, really using what are the words and terms you want to use to, you know, put your key participants, your key stakeholders into different stories to drive different action and behaviors. I think the most important creative operations, WTF is what the friction, and it's something you should be observing and asking about. And go Simon Cowell and annoying five-year-old Socrates on your creative briefs, and I would be happy to do it with you. Thanks so much. Have a great week.